Arr, pirate fans, it's time to find out the state of the ship of your defending champions for the 2022 season with your hosts, Johnny Wilbur and Jake Ignazewski. And now, brought to you by Resonate, it's the state of the ship.
Welcome back into the state of the pirate ship. I am your host, Massachusetts Pirates team insider, Jake Ignazewski. And I'm going to be flying solo today as Pirates public address announcer John Wilbur was unable to join me. But in this episode, we're not only going to be recapping the Pirates' loss to the Vegas Nighthawks last Sunday, but also previewing their upcoming game on Monday, May 9th, against the San Diego Strike Force as the Pirates embark on a two-week road trip out west. And as I mentioned, they're going to be playing the Strike Force this upcoming week. And then next week, they're going to be playing in a very highly anticipated rematch of the United Bowl of last year against the Arizona Rattlers in Arizona. But let's start off by talking about the Pirates' tough loss, the Vegas Nighthawks. They fell to the Nighthawks 46-44 in the final seconds. But looking at what the Pirates did offensively, the offense did their job. We saw Alejandro Benefield complete 15 of his 21 pass attempts, throwing for 172 yards with two passing touchdowns, no interceptions. And he also rushed for 21 yards with three scores. And it was nice to see Drow back under center, even though Mike Glass did a phenomenal job of filling in for him against the Barnstormers when Benefield had an illness and wasn't able to play. But it really seemed like, he came right back in with no misstep. And it was also his first game in the DCU Center for almost around a month. And so it was nice to see him be able to come back to that Pirates crowd on Phoenix Field in the DCU Center and really dominate against the Vegas Nighthawks defense. But that wasn't enough, as the Pirates defense struggled mightily to not only contain the Nighthawks quarterback, Jerod Evans, but also not record penalties. We saw the Pirates really struggle with their penalties. They totaled 13 throughout the game. 10 of those penalties were on the defense. And also, four of those penalties were also offsides. And this was something that happened in the most critical situations. And it just allowed the Nighthawks offense to continue drives and keep on driving down the field. We saw the Nighthawks quarterback, Jerod Evans, finish with 18 completed passes over his 25 attempts, totaling for 203 yards, four scores, and he had seven total touchdowns. Three of them came on the ground as he ran for eight carries with 39 yards. And the Nighthawks signed him on Wednesday or Thursday. And this was something that I actually asked not only Coach Kaiser, but also defense back Aaron Maxey-Penn on if the signing of Evans being later in the week and relatively close to when the game was on Sunday, did that impact the preparation that the Pirates had going into the game? Is that one of the biggest reasons why they struggled on defense to contain Evans? And both Kaiser and Maxey-Penn both said that that would be a really easy excuse. That'd be a great scapegoat for us to use on why we struggled so much defensively. But they both mentioned that they did have time on Friday to look over Evans' tape from his past football experience, figure out a way to game plan him. But really the biggest reason why the defense struggled so much was due to those penalties. And I talked to Coach Rayshon Kaiser a little bit how the Pirates are looking to minimize those penalties, because we saw this was also a huge issue for them when they lost in Green Bay 38-31, which was their first loss of this 2022 campaign. And in that game, they had 14 penalties for 97 yards. But looking at this one, as I mentioned, they had 13 penalties total, but that also amassed 120 total yards. And when you're allowing that many penalties, it's so tough for you to be able to find ways to win a game, especially in arena football. But as I mentioned, Coach Kizer spoke on how the team was using their film time and also practice to minimize these penalties. And he said, this week we're working on a lot of hard counts with the defensive line to keep the guys from jumping off sides. We just have to be more disciplined, but we're going to clean that up going forward. And especially as Kizer being the defensive coordinator, also the secondary coach, I asked him if the struggles really made him rethink his game planning during the week leading up to the game. And he mentioned that he was trying a few different new things, not only in the film room, but also during practice, because he was really stressing that the defense was lacking communication and trust within each other. He mentioned that right now it's a lot of selfish guys out there. And something that I've really seen being around the players, not only throughout practice, but during their meetings and everything like that, they really took this loss to heart. And they really used this time during this week leading up to the game in San Diego to, you know, really come together as a team and figure out how they're not going to allow types of losses like happened on Sunday happen once again. And they're really looking at this situation on what isn't going right and how can we move forward to fix whatever issues are happening right now. And we really saw them preach trust. We're family, and all throughout practice, and we saw a lot of guys joking around, but also being very serious on the main goal of winning and really taking this next game against San Diego seriously and using that motivation from Sunday's loss to ultimately run the table. That's a word that Coach Kizer used in my conversation with him on the Coach's Corner this past week, that he is looking at this next game as a must-win game and that they're hoping to run the table for the rest of the season. And, you know, we saw last season that after six games, it was so critical for this Pirates team. And interestingly enough, even though last year's team ended up winning the championship in the United Bowl, they were actually 3-3. They had a 500 record after six games. And right now this team is 4-2. And I asked Coach Kizer, you know, you saw what happened last season. The team really ran the table, ended up winning 11 games in a row to ultimately win the championship. And I said, you know, time and time again, we've heard coaches and players say that this isn't last season. We want to stop comparing this team to last year's team, and we want to move forward and focus on this season. But at the same time, I asked him if he's looking to replicate sort of what they did last year. And you know, he mentioned we learned a lot from last year from the challenges that we had early on in the season. We're looking to understand that this is a much different team. There's different players, but we're trying to use the players that were here last year and were able to help us build what we built last year to help curate sort of the dominance that the Pirates were able to find during that seventh game and beyond to ultimately be as successful as they were last season to hoist the trophy at the end of the season. And, you know, you really saw a lot more focused Pirates team throughout this week, a lot more determined Pirates team than we've seen in previous weeks. And, you know, it was really interesting to see everybody come together because, you know, going into this Strikeforce game, San Diego's coming off of a 38-28 win against the Bismarck Bucks. And, you know, Stephen Kluwe, their quarterback, was not messing around. He he was 20-for-30 on his pass attempts, totaled for 197 yards, threw two touchdowns with an interception. And looking at some of their really good players on offense, looking specifically at what their wide receiver, Troy Evans, he amassed 67 total yards with over four receptions. Also made two trips to the end zone. They also have a very good running game as well with Trayvon Van. He was their leading rusher in last game, totaling 12 carries for 45 yards and also had two scores. But really looking at this Strikeforce team, one stat that I found really interesting is that they have actually allowed the fifth least passing yards in the IFL so far, only allowing 124.7 yards per game. And when you look at the Pirates, they're ranked second in passing with 157.8 yards per game. And that's something that's really interesting to look out for, because we could see, as dominant as this Pirates passing team has been so far, we could see the strike force really make it difficult for them, especially in the secondary. And you know, the offense for the strike force has struggled a little bit. You know, they're 14th currently in the league, averaging 31.3 points per game. And they've also, interestingly enough, thrown the fifth fewest interceptions. But this could be a great game for the Pirates defense to reclaim their identity of being a dominant defense. We saw last season the best IFL defense that there was out there. They stop teams left and right. And we've seen this defense struggle a little bit to start the season so far, especially in the second half. And we saw, especially in the last game, they allowed Vegas to creep right back in and ultimately win the game. So we're gonna see this Pirates defense be a lot more determined, I feel, to stop this San Diego offense from really allowing to walk all over them like we saw Vegas be able to do. And, you know, coming into this game, the Pirates were able to hold their lead in total sacks of 13. And they're also ranked fifth right now in the IFL in defense. But I think that, like Coach Kizer said, this is a must-win game. This game is going to really determine the trajectory that this team is going to have. It's really going to be critical for them to come out the gates swinging, especially ahead of a game which is a highly anticipated rematch against their rival in the Arizona Rattlers. But I am so excited to see sort of how this team is able to use this loss to motivate them in San Diego. And I'm very excited to see sort of how it all plays out, especially after such a tough loss this past Sunday. But John and I are going to keep you posted throughout this season to let you know everything that's going on with the Massachusetts Pirates. That's it for this episode of the recap of last game, as well as the preview for this upcoming game. But we greatly appreciate everybody who has tuned into the State of the Pirate Ship so far this season. This is the number one spot to find all your Pirates information and to keep you updated week in and week out. So if you have not yet, make sure to go over and subscribe on YouTube. It's Mass Pirates, as well as also subscribe on all audio platforms that you have out there, so you're updated every single week when we post a new episode. But that is it for this week's episode. We greatly appreciate everybody tuning in. We'll see you guys next week.